I was told at a very early age in my youth, I think maybe from my father, that there are only about three things in this life that we can be assured of. And one is change, the second was taxes, and the third, death. Well, currently, as you all know, there is a very hot debate in our nation about who should be taxed, how much tax people at various income levels should pay. These are indeed divisive and hot topics in our country right now. But 2,000 years ago, that topic was the same in the Roman Empire. It was a sort of a white-hot debate of taxes among the Jews in Jesus' time. When asked by the Pharisees' disciples and the Herodians whether or not they should pay taxes, what they were really trying to do was to back Jesus into a corner by raising an issue that was deeply divided among the Jewish people. In our gospel reading this evening, the two opponents of Jesus, the Pharisees and the Herodians, were unlikely forces to join together to trap Jesus. The Pharisees, they were rabid nationalists and totally anti-Roman, while the Herodians were willing to collaborate with the Romans and pay those taxes, hoping that in the end they would benefit from them. However, if Jesus then affirms that the taxes should be paid, he alienates the religious nationalists, the Pharisees, who wish to put him to death. And if Jesus denies that the taxes should be, or if he says that they should not be paid, then he alienates the Herodians and is subject to death by the Romans as a political revolutionary. So Jesus escapes this trap by asking his own question of them: whose image is on the coin? Upon hearing the reply, Caesar's image, Jesus says, repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. But Jesus' response is not only a clever dodge of maybe the confrontation that they're presenting to him, it's also a confrontation back to them. Because what he's pointing out to them is that the world is not divided into one part for God and another part for Caesar. What Jesus says and knows and teaches throughout his life is that the creation, all of creation, is first of all under God's sovereignty, especially we human beings who are made in the image and likeness of God. And as such, we have a special role in being good stewards of God's creation. So in the gospel reading, we heard proclaimed where Jesus responded with wisdom and with truth. And in his response, Jesus then pointed out that we are citizens of both this world that we live in as well as the kingdom of God. So as such, then, we have duties in both. We have duties to the people in our community, our country and world, and also to our God. If we look closely at Jesus' answer, and again, this is something that he has referred to throughout his ministry and his public life, and he even was asked at one point, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, the two greatest commandments are to love your God with your whole heart and soul and love your neighbor as yourself. And we can sort of see that in the reading today. How do we then love our neighbor? By providing for their well-being. And one of the ways that we do this certainly is by paying taxes. And also then by making our voices heard and casting our votes to protect our neighbors and ourselves, to preserve the rights of all people, sinners and saints alike, to promote respect for and the well-being for each person in our country and community, the poor and the rich alike, to provide access to medical care and other needs that we have as humans, to work for peace in the human family. So we repay to God what belongs to God by participating in building up God's kingdom, which begins right here on this earth. As God anointed Cyrus in our first reading, and perhaps it would be helpful to have a bit of background about Cyrus. Cyrus was a pagan king, and he was a king of Babylon. And of course, as we know, the Jewish people were captured, were taken away from Jerusalem as Jerusalem was destroyed, and were held captive by the Babylonians. And so at this particular time, in that first reading, where God is speaking to Cyrus, he is telling him what Cyrus would be doing. And he said, I am God, and then he anointed Cyrus to do his work, even though Cyrus was a pagan god. We, like Cyrus, are also called by God. We are called to be God's servants and instruments for the welfare and the freedom of all people. We here at St. Thomas More are involved in many activities in building the kingdom of God right here in our own community. For example, I know you have read in the bulletin and on the posters on the walls, the Neighbor to Neighbor program and the Kid to Kid program, feeding the homeless and the poor among us. At Christmas time, we're involved in Adopt the Family program. And of course, the Knights of Columbus and the St. Thomas More ladies are involved in many different charitable contributions to the poor and to the vulnerable in our community. And we have an upcoming program called Go Make a Difference on November the 4th. And this activity allows we as parishioners to be the hands and feet of Jesus, helping those who are in need right here in our own community. Deacon Wayne has a wonderful article in the Musings in the bulletin today about Go Make a Difference. I'd encourage you to take a look at that. So as true Christians, we are called to be good citizens of our community, of our country, and good citizens of the kingdom of God, right here and right now. But our primary allegiance, of course, through all of this, is to God. Our patron saint is a wonderful model for this, St. Thomas More, who was imprisoned by King Henry VIII and then eventually beheaded. But before that, he said, I am the king's good servant, but I am God's servant first. So as we go about this week, let us take some time to reflect on how and what we're giving back to God. Whose image do other people see in us as they look at our life? Are they seeing Caesar or are they seeing God? As we know, during our baptismal rites, we were signed to the life of Christ, and therefore we have that image of God that we carry forth in our life. So when people see us, do they see the image of Jesus, a life that honors and reflects God, that is engraved upon us?